Hello, welcome to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and God's word for our consideration comes to us from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 33. This is what the Lord says, "You say about this place, it is a desolate waste without people or animals. Yet in the towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are deserted, inhabited by neither people nor animals, there will be heard once more the sound of joy and gladness, the voices of bride and bridegroom, and the voices of those who bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord, saying, 'Give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good. His love endures forever.' For I will restore the fortunes of the land as they were before, says the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In this place, desolate and without people or animals, in all its towns there will again be pastures for shepherds to rest their flocks. In the towns of the hill country, of the western foothills and of the Negev, in the territory of Benjamin, in the villages around Jerusalem and in the towns of Judah, flocks will again pass under the hand of the one who counts them, says the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior." This is God's word for us, God's people. Would you pray with me? Two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. Amen. Newness surrounds us in Goodyear as far as the eye can see, really. New homes, new businesses, new restaurants, new medical facilities, new parks. Newness surrounds us on nearly every side. How can we not look at all this newness and not recognize these as signs of abundance and prosperity, especially during a pandemic? Many communities in our country saw long-established businesses close their doors for good. But we experienced something different. New businesses were opening. So many new homes were being built that we could not keep up, and still the builders don't seem like they can keep up with demand. Even though we are surrounded by all this newness, we still face some old struggles. Things that come with an increase in population, right? Traffic, crime, and of course, inflation. Even when you're surrounded by the many tangible proofs of newness and blessings, it doesn't mean that you're automatically filled with appreciation or gratitude. That was the timeless struggle that the writer of the Proverbs put his finger on in our opening prayer from Proverbs chapter 30. He said, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. If I have too much, I may forget. It comes from the Lord. If I have too little, I may not trust in his power and love." The children of Israel faced this struggle frequently. The Lord Almighty had always been there for them, had been with them. He had always taken good care of them from Ur to Egypt to Canaan. Really, when you look at the history of the children of Israel, it's nothing short of amazing that such a small clan survived so much unrest and war, drought and famine, and flourished spending decades in the wilderness. Israel didn't just survive, they thrived. This was because the Lord Almighty provided for his people. But he did more than that. He also kept his good promises. He did bring his people to the land that he promised them, a land flowing with milk and honey, filled with fortified cities and mature vineyards. And as they were about to enter the promised land, the Lord spoke a new good word to his people. He said, "If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands, the commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground. The Lord will bless all the works of your hand. You will always be at the top, never at the bottom. But Israel did not obey the Lord Almighty or carefully follow all his commands. When God blessed them with much, they forgot the Lord. When God cut back on their blessings to call attention to their wicked ways, they grumbled and complained. They dishonored and denied the power, love, and goodness of God. This is the Old Testament in a nutshell, isn't it? And eventually Israel's sinful and forgetful ways fractured their nation in two. The northern 10 tribes kept that name Israel. And the southern two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, simply went by the name Judah. And yet even though these nations were unwilling to live as one, each of them walked the same path of disobedience, forgetfulness, faithlessness, wickedness. They just did so maybe at a little different speed. Israel hastened headlong into idolatry, and Judah did the same. But they convinced themselves that they weren't as bad as their lost neighbors and relatives to the north. The Lord knew better. So he sent prophet after prophet, men like Elijah, Elisha, and Isaiah, to warn the people of the consequences of their forgetfulness, their unfaithfulness and disobedience. All those things that God said he would bless ended up being cursed because of their wicked ways. But even still, God's people thought they knew better. When they faced tough times, they put their trust in princes and property. They made alliances with foreign powers instead of making sacrifices for their many sins. They brought offerings to Baal, Asherah, and even Molech instead of repenting of their forgetful, faithless, and sinful ways. Israel underestimated God's faithfulness. The Lord Almighty never makes idle threats. He sends words of warning, yes, because he is patient and abounding in love, because he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their evil ways and live. It is not because the Lord makes idle threats. During the ministry of Jeremiah, Judah learned that the hard way. God sent Jeremiah to announce the coming destruction, but Judah did not want to listen. In fact, the more Jeremiah spoke about what was going to happen, the more angry the people of Judah became. Eventually, they threw Jeremiah in jail for it. And when we see this, we must stay on our toes, spiritually speaking, because it's easy for us to look at Judah, especially how they treated the Lord's prophet Jeremiah with a kind of spiritual smugness, to see their defiance and their rebelliousness and say, how could they be so foolish? How could they forget the Lord? Let us not forget that that is precisely what they did with their neighbors to the north, Israel. Judah fooled themselves into thinking that their spiritual heritage as God's chosen people, their claim to the chosen city of Jerusalem, the fact that the temple was in their possession, that that would protect them from anything really bad ever happening to them. They forgot that all of this, being God's children, dwelling in his city, having his house so easily available, all of this was a gift from God himself, a blessing. And sometimes we do the same, don't we? We look at all the wonderful gifts that God has showered upon us, and we think that these are proof of our spiritual superiority. We think that maybe we have a great family or a good job or a comfortable life because, well, we've done most of the things right. We think life is good because more often than not, we've done good. And what we've done is we've confused blessings with rewards. A reward is something you earn. A blessing is something you're given. Something you're given freely because the one who blesses you loves you. Because the one who blesses you is good. A rewards mindset with God's law will always lead to sin. When we have a rewards mindset with God's law, we will tell the truth at times, but only when it's to our advantage. Only when we know that we're going to benefit. When we have a rewards mindset with God's law, we will worship God, but only when we feel his presence or it makes us feel good or like we're growing spiritually. When we have a rewards mindset with God's law, we will respect authority, but only when they tell us what makes sense to us. When we have a rewards mindset with God's law, we will be faithful to our spouses, loving to our family, but only when we feel like that love, that respect is being properly reciprocated. And when rewards are our only motivation for keeping God's law, we will quickly break God's law. We will forget God's commands. We will distort the truth when it's convenient. We will lie when the consequences are too much for us to bear. When we have a rewards mindset with God's law, we will look for reasons to become dissatisfied with Sunday morning worship or the people of God's church. When we have a rewards mindset with God's law, we will give into the sinful nature of our children so that we can be their friends, or we will be too harsh with them because we are ashamed of how their behavior makes us look. When we have a rewards mindset with God's law, we will use the sinful failings of our spouses as an excuse for our own selfishness and sin. Far too often we have this rewards mindset when it comes to God's law, even as we read about all the promises that God gives in Deuteronomy chapter 28, promises to bless his people. We look at it through the lens of reward, don't we? After all, God does say, if you obey me, I will bless you. And it sounds to our ears, to our way of thinking, like a reward, especially if we primarily view God as a boss. But don't forget how God referred to Israel. They were his children. He was their father. He longed to be near them as a father does his children. I want you to imagine a father saying to his children, you know, I've got this wonderful supper prepared for you, but you need to get your homework done, your chores done. You need to wash up and be at the table at 5 p.m. sharp. If and when they arrive with their work, their chores done, their hands clean, and at the right time, is he compensating them for doing these things? Is this wonderful meal a reward? Of course not. But if you refuse to do your homework, you leave your chores undone week after week. If you show up for dinner late, day after day, eventually a good father is going to clean up dinner before you can enjoy it with him, because a good father follows through on his word. It's because a good father rejoices in keeping his promises. And that is what Jeremiah proclaims in these verses. Yes, God, our good Heavenly Father, was going to clean up the table, as a matter of speaking. He was going to take away so many of the blessings from the people of Judah that they thought protected them. But it was only going to be for a short while. For 70 years, many of God's children would live in captivity in Babylon, but the Lord God would come to them. He would fulfill his good promise. He would bring back all the blessings that a good father longs to give to his children. What makes a father rejoice more than to see his children thrive? To see them get married and succeed at work? What makes a father rejoice more than seeing his children joyful and glad and having more than enough to meet their needs? What makes a father prouder than watching his children grow up and one day grab the check at dinner? Say, Dad, I've got this. Thanks for everything. The Lord Almighty has done all this for Jerusalem, but the Lord Almighty had a bigger and better promise than just restoring things back to normal. He has blessed all his children. See, that's the picture that we see in Jeremiah chapter 33. It's a picture of peacetime, people getting married, bringing thank offerings to the house of the Lord, shepherds resting their flocks in the fields. None of this stuff happens when a country is at war or a city is under siege. People don't get married when they don't know if they're going to see tomorrow. People don't bring thank offerings to the Lord when they don't know where their next meal is coming from. Shepherds don't hang around in the open field with their flocks when the enemy is about to open fire. God restored peace to Judah and Jerusalem. He kept his good promise, and he tells us why. It's not because Judah or Jerusalem had earned or deserved it. It was never a reward. It was a blessing. And the Lord Almighty used this blessing of geopolitical peace to bring safety and salvation to all of his people. Don't you see the prophet Jeremiah anticipating the beginning of a glorious plan of salvation? The plan that we are going to celebrate in less than 30 days at Christmas? with the sounds of joy and gladness. You think of Mary and Joseph getting married, giving thanks to the Lord Almighty for giving them this good gift of a son who would also be their Savior. And don't forget whom God announced this blessing to first. That's right, shepherds from the towns of Judah in Bethlehem, David's little town. God made this righteous branch sprout from David's line. And Jeremiah tells us why. Jesus' mission was to do what is just and right, because Jesus understood the goal of God's law. He knew that God's law was good because it came from the Lord who is good, whose love endures forever. This is why Jesus didn't just do what was right when it meant that he would be rewarded. No, he longed to bring his Father glory through his obedience. He joyfully kept the law in thought, word, and deed. He came to be the Lord, our righteous Savior. This title tells us so much, everything we need to know about our Jesus. He is our righteousness, the righteousness that has been credited to us by faith. He has done for us what we would not and could not do for ourselves. He saved us by shedding his holy, precious blood. The Lord Almighty humbled himself. He made himself weak and vulnerable. He was treated unjustly so that we might be spared. He was executed as an unrighteous criminal so that we might live in peace, security, and safety. So let us give thanks to the Lord Almighty because he has done mighty things to save you and me. Jesus is our great bridegroom. And he doesn't just make a promise to love us till death do us part. No, our bridegroom died for us to make us his very own. To wash us and cleanse us, to take away every stain and blemish of our sin. His love moved him to pay for all of our iniquities so that we might take on his name. Righteousness. This is not a reward for a life well lived. No, God has blessed you with this gift. This is the gift that makes all things new. This is the reason that we have to rejoice. Yes, we are surrounded by all kinds of new things, new businesses, new homes, new medical facilities, even a wonderful new park. Being surrounded by new stuff is tremendous until it fails to meet expectations in some new way. And everything new does. Being surrounded by new stuff is great until it breaks down. And everything does. But being surrounded by God's mercy, which is new every morning, is better by far. Being protected by the Lord Almighty allows us to enjoy these temporal blessings with peaceful contentment. Because we know that the Lord Almighty knows what we need. We know that he provides our daily bread and so much more. We know that he who did not spare his one and only son will not neglect any of our other needs. And God tells us why he gives us these blessings. Just as he used geopolitical peace in Judah and Jerusalem to bring salvation to all his people, he uses the blessings that we have in this new and growing community to expand his kingdom, to bring his message of peace and salvation to people who were once far off. This Lord calls you and me to leverage the blessings that he is giving to us in his community, this growing community, to expand his growing kingdom. Yes, this newness comes with challenges, but it provides so many opportunities. Every new home is another new family that needs to know about God's new mercy, about his love. They need to know that the good life that they have is because God is good. Because his love for them endures forever. Then they will be moved to gather with us and give thanks to the Lord, because they will know that he is good and his love for them and all of us endures forever. Amen.